The theater. The theater.
Hang out, Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
Oliver.
Oliver.
Yes.
Oliver.
Oliver.
Indeed. Indeed.
Hey, dudes. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Yeah.
Welcome to your Jesus year.
My Jesus year.
Yeah.
Your coming of age hobbit year.
It's my hobbit year. That's right.
Yeah.
33. Yeah. It's been fun so far. I've had a whole week as a 33-year-old, and it's top tier.
Yes. Top tier, yeah. Hey, man.
Top tier.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
It just goes downhill from here.
Oh, 33 is the year, right? And then after that, yeah. Oh,
yeah, you peaked it out, bro. You peaked it out.
Damn. CJ, you said you had something.
I have an important announcement.
Oh, God.
LA got the remnants of a hurricane, and nobody did anything this last Sunday. And I finally, much to both of your telling me I needed to do it, and other people's, I watched Paddington 2, but watched Paddington before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were both fucking delightful.
They're so good. So good. So really
so delightful.
Well done. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would easily recommend them to other people.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Paddington 3, though, the revenge where he's just strapped with like guns. Mm-hmm.
Isn't he going to Peru for the third one? Like, I was IMDBing the whole time. Like, there's another one coming out and he's going to Peru.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Peru.
Peru.
Sounds great to me. I'll watch the shit out of that.
Watch it like a motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, my alarm's going off. Let's see what it's for.
Oh.
It says podcast.
Oh,
that was ill time.
It sounds about right. It is correct.
Bailey,
yeah.
You're right where you need to be right now.
Aw, that's right. With y'all.
Yeah.
With friends.
Yes.
Because you gotta have friends.
I saw the new Mission Impossible movie. Impossible.
Impossible.
That would be Mission Impossible with like Posh Spice.
Mission Impossible, yeah.
I would see that. Okay,
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. And it's really good because much like the Fast and Furious franchise is like all about family, the Mission Impossible franchise is all about friendship and friends.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Scientology.
Scientology. Dianetics, specifically. Dianetics. It's so funny because the first movie, his whole crew dies. Spoiler alert. The first scene, his whole crew dies.
Sure.
And then they've spent 7 movies of him being like, no one can ever die again.
Okay.
And yeah. That's the whole thing. Kind of, but his whole thing is like, I will never let any of my friends ever die again. And it's kind of amazing. It's really
all
cute.
Right. Well, that's nice.
And Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames and Rebecca Ferguson, they're all just
Rebecca.
You just want to kiss them. You want to kiss them all.
Yeah,
I really want to kiss Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, me too.
Dune two, y'all. Or Dune, as we call it in England. June.
Of course, Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep is great. She's awesome in that.
She's
so super
good in
hot
movie.
In that.
She rules in that movie.
She wears a top hat and she does witchcraft.
Speaking of Dr. Sleep, welcome to Theater, the theater podcast. The theater podcast for theater nerds made by 3 theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm Jay Bailey Burcham.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett.
That's right. And each week we get together to discuss and debate the definition of theater through various lenses. And this week is a Scott's pick. Scott, what'd you pick and why?
Well, I picked Oliver! 1968, 69. Yeah.
68. Oscars 69.
There you go.
Nice.
69. Nice. And I chose it because we have done multiple series on musicals, movie musicals, musicals that were adapted into movies. And for years, I had it in my head, erroneously, that this Oliver was an original movie musical. I was incorrect. Bailey proved me incorrect. Well, I was going to say live, but while we were recording, and so don't know why that false information got in my head, but now it's making me question everything.
Everything.
I've got my next musical turned into a movie loaded and ready to go.
What is it?
Hello, Dolly.
Oh, right.
Good one. We'll bring up later, because that actually has to do with
this. It's of this time, it's for sure.
Very much of this
time. It reminded me of Hello, Dolly, but in like production ways.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But otherwise, Oliver had been one of those. It was one of the first movies that I remember, like, my mom showing me on home video, when you could rent home video for the first time, and when it came out, like, because you guys are too young to remember this, but when home video hit, there was a period of time where you couldn't just get anything. It was a big deal when something, especially a classic film, came out on home video, and then they were like $90 for a VHS. Like, it was
Jesus
insane.
Christ.
It was crazy because of licensing, and they were rightly concerned about
moral
piracy.
Of the lesson, everybody, just wait.
Just wait.
Just wait.
But I remember
unless you're a collector, just wait.
But I remember renting this and watching it for the first time, and just sort of being like, "What?" Like, it just kicked me in the butt. I just loved it. And then it led me to watch The Third Man, which was also directed by Carol Reed, which is arguably, I mean, depending on the year and the list, is usually either one or two for the best British film ever made, is The Third Man.
British Film Institute most often puts Third Man at number one.
Yeah. And then Lawrence
Oliver
of Arabia.
Number 77.
Right, yes. Yeah, no. And so it was really interesting because I had probably seen this on stage since the last time I sat down and watched the film beginning to end. So it was interesting to revisit, and some really great stuff to lean into and talk about. Yeah.
Siege, what's your experience with Oliver?
I've never seen this movie. I am not familiar with the musical. I think it was one that, like, as far as musicals went in the household, we went to see what my parents were into, and that's what we listened to. And I think as a little girl, I was like, I can't play a part in this, so I don't give a shit.
sure.
But as predicted, I knew quite a few of the songs. I was like, because they're just, you know, musical theater standards from the good old days, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Also, you'd be a great Nancy. You don't fucking Nancy.
Yeah.
Listen, and now the closer I get to my 40s, the more I'm playing characters like that.
Yeah.
Sure. This one was a huge one for me as a kid. I sang every single one of these songs at some point in a concert as a child. Like, every single one. I sang Where Is Love as like an early solo at some like voice lessons concert or something. I don't remember what it was for. I must have been like 8. And I sang Where Is Love. Where is CJ? I don't even know.
Sorry, I was writing down a note.
No, it's okay. Hi. I was just singing to you. It's okay. It's a beautiful ballad for you. It's a
I love it.
Serenade.
No, finish.
Finish what?
Are you finished?
Sure. What were you saying?
I just remember being handed As Long As He Needs Me at a really inappropriate age. Like,
sure.
12 or 13. Sure. And then, like, not knowing I've never understood the context of that song. And it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Really weird thing to hand a teenager.
It is. So I sang every single song at some point. I watched the movie a lot as a kid. Mm. And I kind of forgot that until I was rewatching it. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I know every shot of this film.
Yes.
Like, I know every little orphan kid's face. I know every, the pickpockets, everyone. I know every moment of this. I knew some of the choreo. Like, that's where we're, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I just have always really loved it. I think I always, like, knew I could never play Oliver but wanted to, kind of thing. And I have a, I just submitted a self-tape for Bill Sykes at Five Star Theatricals.
Nice. Yes!
I feel like I could pull off a solid Oliver Reed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about here, and I'm excited to do it. I'm really excited to talk about the Oscar season that we're in right now. So we'll get to that later. Because it fucking, this year's crazy.
It's a crazy
year. Best picture noms alone are insane. But then there's like six musicals, and there's like, you know, it's amazing. So we'll get into all of that. But before we do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CJ.
Yeah.
Can you break this shit down for us so that we understand it a little bit better?
I sure can.
Okay, fine.
CJ's breakdown.
A story of a young, adorable orphan, Oliver, who was born in a workhouse in Victorian England. Mm. All this little guy wants is love and possibly some more food. What does that get him? Sold to a funeral home where he's abused, leading him to run away to London, where he is quickly taken in by a band of more adorable orphan pickpockets led by Fagin and under the shadow of creepster Bill Sykes. Will some non-shady person just take this kid in? Based on Dickens's Oliver Twist.
I went and did some, I read the book probably when I was like 11 or 12.
I was going to say, that's probably how old I was when I read it. It was handed to me pretty
young. And the only two things that I remember from the book that aren't in the movie was the group of women that come in and kind of save the orphans at one point. There's like a group of, I don't remember them being described as sex workers or anything, but they're kind of associated with Nancy, like, and they come in, and then Oliver gets shot in the book. He survives,
yeah, I remember that.
But he gets shot. Yeah. So I'm like, it was crazy. But I guess from what I've read, this adaptation, which is described in the opening credits as freely adapted from Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist, was more a musical adaptation of the David Lean movie that was made like in 1949 that had Alec Guinness as Fagin in it. Right. So that was a trimmed down, you know, thing. And that's really what the musical was based on. And then this film version came out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
There's so much. So Carol Reed, Third Man, we already talked about this. Vernon Harris, wrote the book, the screenplay, and was nominated for Best Adapted. And we'll get into all that later, but the movie starts with something that always, and I've said this on the pod before, always gets me so hard. It gets me so Randy. I don't care what we're watching. And that is credits over drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
All day.
You also get an intermission notice in the middle.
Yes. 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 Oh, I love that
the
shit.
Intermission
or
card.
Or entr'acte.
Yes.
This is my love language, these things, okay? This is my nostalgia. Like, Bedknobs and Broomsticks does it. I think Great Race even did it. Great Race?
Yeah. Just like, so my very part of that time.
And, oh, so good. And like, I think every best picture should start like that and have an intermission. I don't know why. I just think if it doesn't have it, it shouldn't
be. But Tar didn't have an intermission.
Tar didn't have an intermission, but Tar did have the beginning. And I was like, I think it's going to win best picture.
This is theater. We should bow first. Let's get everyone's applause first.
No, you're right. You're fucking right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, no, but I love that shit. And I was just right away. I was right back. I was a child again. Just like, oh, yeah. Oh, the drawings. Yeah. Oh, this rules. Very exciting. And then we go into from drawing into the workhouse, and it says workhouse, home for paupers and orphans.
Yeah.
Paupers.
And I forgot about this. It's so fucked up and sad.
Yeah.
The reason he goes and asks for Gruul for more is because he draws the long straw.
Right. Yeah.
Not
I think
because...
that's the first time I've ever seen somebody actually draw straws for something.
Sure.
Like, it's a euphemism, or not a euphemism. It's just something people say now. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, but it's usually not literal straw. Right.
I was or like, sometimes oh, that's how you like, do the longest straw.
Right. Sometimes it's even like sipping straws. Like you cut straws. Yes. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, I guess I haven't seen it with literal hay, literal straw. But that
was pretty literal.
Funny. It's literal. Like the film and play device of being in a wedding and asking if someone objects and somebody objects.
Oh, yes. Right.
It's only a plot device. It's never actually happened in real life.
No. People have tried it and failed.
I've asked. I've heard some interesting stories, but never anything of somebody standing up and saying, no, I'm against this. Anyway.
Yeah. But I think it's so fucked up because I always think of it as like Oliver decides one day he finally decides like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go ask.
No.
And it's like this dope move that he pulls and that's why he gets kicked out. But no, he it's pure luck. He
pulled this. Could have been another
if
adorable
any other
orphan.
Kid had done it, they would have been the one to go, right?
He's sort that's of the life. Ultimate existential character.
Sure.
He has no, you know, well, I guess when he runs away to London, he has agency. But otherwise, he's just sort of being randomly pulled in all
he's
these directions.
Every child.
I think that's mostly true through this 3-hour film. I think that's very true.
Yeah. Yes.
However, the scene where I personally fall in love with him and I'm like, okay, I'm on this kid's side no matter what. Where he does have some agency is the funeral parlor when he beats the shit out of the dude and talks shit on his mom.
Oh, yes.
Listen, the first
and he gets put in the coffin.
Yeah.
The first time I fell in love with him was the first time they just did a close-up. Mark Lester was an adorable fucking little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Which he's crazy looking now. But he the whole thing was like, he... Yes, and of course, yes, he's a very cute kid. You fall in love with him right away. But what I really mean is, like, as a character, the moment that locks it in is like, oh, this kid's kind of a badass.
Sure.
Like, he's not just any orphan. Like, he's willing to be like, no, fuck you. You don't talk about my mom, you piece of shit. I'm going to beat you up. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. And get stuffed in a coffin. And they're even saying, like, and then even what's his name comes back and is like,
Bumble.
Yeah, Bumble comes back and is like, shouldn't you be afraid of me? And he's like, no, fuck you. And he's like, no. And you know, it's just so that's where you really, really fall in love with him. And then right after that, he sings Where Is Love, his Castle on a Cloud moment.
Yeah.
And from then on, right? It's kind of similar. It's like
your co-set impression sounds like little Mark Lester.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other side of this, right? Is that he could not sing. Apparently, this kid was like arrhythmic, like had no like ability to sing.
I thought it was definitely the yesteryears of all of the boys were falsetto and really up there. It reminded me of like boy choirs in like Catholic churches and stuff.
And that's
sure, all of the other kids are singing.
Yeah. Yes, in but unison too. There's no parts.
He is being dubbed,
which
in my opinion you can tell right away.
Yeah,
like you're just like, oh, that is a different recording like than the rest of the movies.
Was it a different kid singing or was
it was a woman and that
it's
was the thing,
John
it's like...
Green's daughter it's
no
the
shit.
Composer's
okay.
daughter or the
right.
the person who compiled and arranged
and making everything
and
better
it.
Y'all
I've always been able to tell that it was a woman singing.
Oh,
sure.
It's
clearly
a woman. If you close your eyes, it's clearly a woman's voice. It's, you know, it's not like, what's her name? Who does Bart Simpson, who gets the voice down. But singing's hard
like that.
Another
Scientologist.
You know?
Bringing it all back around.
Right? There we go. But yeah, it was, but all of the other kids sing and all of the other performances are, I think the only person who doesn't sing is Oliver Reed, and after watching Tommy, we know why.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know he doesn't sing. There's one Bill Sykes song, and then he like sings a little bit in another song in the show.
Yeah,
and they cut that. It's My Name. It's not really a singing song.
He's so bad. He's so mean and awful. He doesn't get a song.
Well, and Oliver Reed himself is kind of a piece of shit. There's that video. I should have found it before this, but there's a video you can, I'm sure, just like Google Oliver Reed late night, you know, misogyny or whatever. But there's a video of him like smoking a cigar onto the Tonight Show or some shit. And there's some woman there just, there's some woman there just like ripping him to shreds and he's being awful.
Sure.
But the audience is not on his side. And no one's on his side. Well, there's a couple times where he says something really misogynistic and you hear the men in the audience be like, but every time she gets back at him and says something right, you hear the whole crowd like it's an okay clip. It's a good clip. But you see him just being like, I would punch this woman if I could. Like it's it's tough.
Oliver Reed has total Jeff Daniels syndrome for me, where like the only thing I know Oliver Reed from is fucking Gladiator. And then he drank himself to death while he was working on that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. What does that have to do with Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, the only thing I saw Jeff Daniels in for decades was fucking Dumb and Dumber. And when people were like, oh, he's a great actor, I'm like, the Dumb and Dumber guy?
Yeah, something wild. Yeah,
no, but I'd never, I think Charms the next thing I saw him in was Newsroom, and then I watched Godless, and like, he's an amazing actor, but I don't only ever see Oliver Reed in Gladiator.
Well, I think part of that is he was famous before you were born, mostly, like, right, like, he was in Tommy, which we already discussed at length and ad nauseum. And he was in The Devils, which is another Ken Russell movie that's really fucking crazy. And just, a lot of that shit. But he was one of my dudes when I was a kid. He's in Baron von Munchausen, which I really loved. He plays like Hephaestus or something crazy.
Yes, yes.
But he was like one of my childhood guys because Tommy and Oliver were big staples for me. And then when he showed up in Gladiator, I remember being like, oh my God, it's fucking Oliver Reed. And I was like 9, you know.
I read he cost that movie $3 million because he died in the middle of filming and they had to do CGI to make up for the rest of his stuff.
That's true. I wouldn't put it as he cost the film that much.
Oh, that's just what I read on the IMDb. Like, no, that's it cost that much to finish the film
once he died. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I'm just trying to avert the blame a little bit from his death. But
he had promised the director, like, this was supposed to be his comeback. He wasn't going to do any drinking. He'd always been a party boy. And then he just drank on the weekends.
He's an alcoholic.
That was the last straw. Like,
he's an alcoholic. That was bad. No. And also, kind of hot.
He's devilishly handsome in this.
Kind of a babe.
You get it.
Just that stare. There's an interview with him in like the 70s where he talks about just how to stare, how to play a bad guy. And he's kind of like being jovial with the interviewer. And then all of a sudden he turns it on and you could see this dude literally like kind of push away from his chair just a little bit.
He's
like
intense
dude. Yeah, and just
naturally intense,
and just, you know, sort of a cliched man's man. Yeah, you know, hard drinking, hard partying.
CJ, I wanted to ask you before we get into other actors, I wanted to ask you about the choreography, specifically because it won an Oscar, like a special Oscar for choreo. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. They don't do that very often, right? Mm-hmm. But also, we talked a lot about carbography in Cyrano. And this one has meatography.
I was trying to...
Carnography.
That's pretty good. I was trying to fix it with charcuterie.
Ooh,
but no, carniography is way fucking better.
Yeah, I think that's funny. Yeah. Carnography.
No, yeah. I actually, one of the first, it was for Consider Yourself, I wrote down, I love a good musical that features a long dance number that shows people doing their jobs in rhythm.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I love that shit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The chopping of the meat and the cleaning of the bottles, the wine bottles, and oh my God, it was so clever.
Do you know how often I've tried to do that in choreography, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
I bet.
I I just know a little bit, and it's from listening to You Must Remember This, like the mid 60s going to the late 60s, the like dying of the big budget musical movie, because sure. people were wanting something like grittier and more real. And to me, like seeing those, I was like, it was the last gasping breath, like these big elongated musical numbers
yeah.
that you only see in Hello Dolly and Oliver and Mary Poppins and all of those that came yeah. around that time.
And some just extraordinary shooting and logistics. The end of Consider Yourself, when you can literally see people moving and dancing in the background that you... It's so yeah. far away. You can't, there's no way. Like how yeah. epic that crane shot was. Like, yeah, Carol Reed, he did a lot of really cool stuff. I noticed color, like how the flowers would pop, how it's all subdued, but like Fagin's green coat is very distinctive. Dodger's blue coat is very distinctive, but sure. everything else is muted. And then the way he introduces characters like Fagin coming out of the smoke, or, you know, Bill Sykes' shadow being cast, but then him being in shadow as well. Like, you know that dude's going to be bad.
By the way, Carol Ooh. Reed is Oliver Reed's uncle.
That's right. Yeah, I read that.
Forgot about that. The choreo rules, the cinematography rules, it all looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
The whole like one giant dance number where all the little people doing their jobs, the subcultures of the town
mm-hmm. Come on.
Do their thing is one of my favorite things in a movie ever. And the best one, in my opinion, besides maybe Consider Yourself, might be the best one. The other one I think is in the running is Portobello Road from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, where yeah. it goes around to all the like different countries, because it's like this melting
like an international
pot market.
Yeah.
International market, so it's going like between, you know, they
it's
go
like
to like
Kyle's
a Haitian
mom's a bitch.
Place and a German place and a, you know, it's really, it fucking rules. What'd you say?
It's like Kyle's mom, Kyle,
it's like Kyle's
mom's
a big fat bitch. That's what it's like. It's 100%
no,
like that.
But also how fucking Dickens is Consider Yourself, where it's like, now we're going to show you all of the classes of Victorian England. Like,
sure.
It's very Dickens of them.
I kind of like it, though. And they all have their different,
yeah,
I'm
loving
goofy
it.
Ways of dancing. I
it
love
was,
it.
I'd made few notes for this, but that was one of them that I had to pause the film and sit down and type it out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I still think one day we need to do a whole mini series on just these types of movies, like British.
There's
epic
so many of them that I love.
Movie musicals, yeah, just like these big ones, like Disney and beyond. Like, there's uh-huh. so many of them, and we did Great Race, which I know isn't a musical, but it feels very much in the same vein.
Yeah.
And I want to do more of them because they're fun, and I want to watch them with y'all. I haven't watched either of them with you guys.
Yeah,
I would die to watch Hello Dolly with y'all.
Yeah, oh, that'd be fun. Oh yeah, Hello Dolly's in there too.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
It's my next.
So I'll pick up on my old tape.
Just leave everything to me is my personal assistant theme song.
What's your favorite song in the show, Siege?
Hello Dolly? Oh my god!
No! In Oliver! Exclamation point! Oliver.
I mean, for production value, Consider Yourself was really, really good.
Yeah. I like the choreo of Pick a Pocket. It's very Newsies. It's very,
cute. I mean, the movie that I have seen is Newsies, that I was like, oh, isn't Oliver just Newsies
in
England?
Is that the last time?
No, Newsies is just Oliver in wherever.
In New York.
Oh, sure, I guess. Not really, but yeah, sure. Newsies, I think, is the last film to really do like big choreo numbers that are expansive, that are all one shot and look really great. I can't think of
another one. What about In the Heights or the new West Side Story or something?
In the Heights did a few. West Side did a few.
They've just got these big sweeping. I don't know about the shot schedule or whatever, but I'm thinking these big sweeping musical numbers where they're like 7 or 8 minutes long, because you got to stop and watch everyone dance for a bit.
Yeah, maybe. Favorite song, Scott?
I think. Oh,
Siege?
Sorry.
No, what's yours? Did you say?
Consider Yourself. I think for production value was a big one for me.
I love them. So many of them. I really love. I'm reviewing I'm reviewing the situation.
Sure.
And just because of the ending, which is, I told CJ yesterday, I was like, the moment where Fagin's kind of splitting and then there's Dodger standing there at the end and he pulls out a wallet and hands it to him and they go dancing off together into the sunset to that, like, it's just magical. I love it. Jack Wilde is phenomenal in this. Like, that little kid is great. You know, well, he's passed away since then, but
may I give an honorable mention?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm very interested by the song in As Long As He Needs Me. I've never heard that song in the context of the scene that happens before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's what always happens or if that's just what they put in the film. I've only ever seen it as like this beautiful ballad that someone sings. I would love to see it with all of the grit and like aftermath that you could smash into it.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That second act gets so dark. The second
it's
half.
I know,
but it gets violent in a way that I had forgotten about.
Sure.
You know, like, yeah, it just, it's so dark and so brutal, and just like, you know, Bill Sykes' ending and Nancy's endings are just, oof. Berg, you know.
I really love I love so many of the songs, but the Who Will Buy is the one.
Yes.
It's lovely
and it sticks with me a lot. And I made I in college made a rap album called #ICT. And it opens with a song called Sarsaparilla. And the ill in illa is capitalized. So it's Sarsaparilla.
Okay.
And which is hilarious. And yes. I take this song and I morph it into a rap beat and rap over it.
Nice. Right.
So I'm going to put it at the end of the episode.
Please. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Good.
I love that number, Bailey. I spaced on that, and to open the second act or the post intermission in film, and how it builds and builds and builds and we get more of that choreography. Like, there's the one moment where they're all like hanging off the balconies, and I'm like, there's no safety cords. Like, they're just these dumb bastards are just doing this, and then they're sliding down the ladders. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I wonder how many people got hurt, like just how many sprained ankles there were throughout this.
Sure.
But there's another example of all the color. It's, you know, we get the bursting and, oh, the strawberry girl is super hot. Super hot.
Sure.
I'm telling you, go back and watch it and tell
me
she's
right.
not.
You're right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Bailey. Don't scoff at me, CJ.
No, she's hot. She's super hot.
Attention.
She actually made me think of, that's so funny, because this is also a very similar story, and it's a book, it's a Susskind book that was made into a movie that I love, Perfume, The Story of a Murderer.
You've talked about this movie a lot.
Yeah, because it's a very similar movie book, where this one orphan is being passed around from place to place, and each place ends up sort of being kind of evil, or he like messes up and has to move on. And you're kind of just watching things happen to him until he takes on the idea of like, I'm gonna start killing people to make their sense into Perfume, which is what it's about. But the thing with that is that every time he leaves somebody, the person, like, something awful happens to the person he leaves. And I always kind of want that from this. I'm always a little bit like I kind of want Bumble to get his comeuppance and he doesn't, right?
Oh, but sings so good.
But he sings so good. Yeah, that's true. Born for Sale or whatever that fucking song is.
He's got a great fucking
is.
Voice.
Yeah. But the reason I brought this up is because the first woman he accidentally actually murders in Perfume, The Story of a Murderer, is a girl who sells golden plums. And she's walking around and he's sort of enamored by her and ends up accidentally killing her. and which like sort of starts the catalyst of it. When I saw the Strawberry Woman, I thought of the girl.
Plums are so disappointing. What was he thinking?
What are?
Plums. They're disappointing fruit. I'm saying it here.
First of all, stone fruit are the best fruit. All stone fruit are the best fruit.
Peaches.
Plums are the lowest
on
the
totem. Canned.
Here's the plums are the lowest on of the plums. Uh-huh. Plums are the lowest of the pluots of the stone fruits. Mm-hmm. But they're still above like a lot of fruits.
A plum and an apricot put together. Don't you try to fucking gaslight me that you
First of all, you're eating you're gaslighting me. Second of all, you're eating canned plums and that and like dried apricots.
Never
and shit.
Ate canned plums. My parents fed me a lot of canned fruits and vegetables, had a lot of canned peaches.
I don't do cans.
A lot of canned pears.
You can taste the can.
Yeah, makes it delicious. I can't eat regular now.
Should we go through all of the people in this movie?
This is going to actually forget laundry and bourbon. This is going to be my next one.
You're right. We should. Just canned fruits. Okay. Mark Lester as Oliver, who does not sing in this, but is real cute. I think a lot of his lines are ADR too.
Are they really?
Yeah, it looks like it anyway.
Well, my vote is he's cute.
I mean, it's him talking. I think they ADR'd him with his own voice, but it still is. Yeah, like, yeah. Sometimes you're like,
No, he's great. And, you know, he went on and worked a lot through the 70s. Now he's like an osteopath and a.
Yeah.
You know, he's Sorry, living his life. He bought, like, used his money. Like, his parents were smart. His parents like refused like a big contract. They were like, after this movie, they were like, sure. Let him do stuff, but let him be normal. And so it sounded like, I mean, he apparently partied pretty hard in the late 70s, early 80s, but you know.
Good for him.
Who didn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got over it.
Okay. What about Fagin, Ron Moody?
Ron Moody, this is a classic performance. Like, it's so good.
He's been all over the fucking place, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Or he had been.
Yeah, just a lot of, he was like a World
War II. He's played Merlin like 30 times.
Yeah.
You say Merlin?
Yeah. Well, he's in Kid in King Arthur's Court.
All right.
Which is one of my favorite, you know, 90s like kids movies where a baseball player gets sucked into King Arthur time. And he's Merlin in that, and then he's Merlin in like three other things. He's great. Yeah,
and he played and he did Fagin many times on stage.
Absolutely,
before
yeah, got a Tony
and after.
For it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read that he almost turned down the role because he didn't want to do Jewish stereotypes. He was a Russian Jew, or his parents were of Russian Jewish descent, and so he was like, I didn't want to play. And in the book, he's pretty awful. Not that he's a great character here, but there are at least moments throughout
he's
this
got some charm.
Yeah, where you feel like he gives a shit about these kids, he cares a little bit, and he does that very well. Like he's got this this energy, this charm that really carried it through. I think he's great.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. We stand a legend, Ron Moody. What about Nancy? Is it Shawnee Wallace?
Yeah,
sounds very Irish.
Shawnee Wallace.
She is an American. Became a U.S. American citizen. She turned
Good.
Down. Here's she went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts with
right.
Robert Reed, aka right. Mr. Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And she turned down the role of Carol Brady.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Yes, to do stage work. And she at that point would have been big enough because of this movie and because of her stage stuff that she would have been able to do it.
Well, and she was all over TV. She was on Gunsmoke and Charlie's Angels and Fantasy
Murder
Island,
She
all the
Wrote.
Shit, Murder, She Wrote.
Hasn't
which
everyone
Ron Moody
in Hollywood
did
been on that now?
Yeah, that's probably true. But Ron Moody also did a Murder, She Wrote, I think one or two. But I also knew her as a kid because I was really into the Don Bluth animated films in the
90s.
Oh,
yeah.
I really loved Pebble and the Penguin, and she narrates that. And I remember someone telling me that she was Nancy from Oliver and then sort of loving the movie even more because of it. And she's also a voice of Lady Mouse in The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, right.
But I didn't know that till just now when I looked it up. But she's great in this. Oompa-pa.
It's a good
really
song.
Fun yeah. number she does yeah. great in.
Yes.
We sort of already talked about all these people pass so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Oliver Reed, who we already sort of talked about, pass, fail.
Oh, super pass.
Yeah,
super pass.
He does a great job. Harry Succomb, Bumble.
Oh, he's I thought great. He sang like a motherfucker.
Oh, you need a good, great baritone. Yeah, I think he's fucking definitely a pass. He was a short little guy though. When he's in the scene with what's his name, Brown? Who's the guy that saves him in the end? Mr. Brown.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But
yes.
He stands
Brownlow.
Up. Brownlow. He's much shorter, short little guy. But yeah.
He does a great job. Okay, Jack Wild, the Artful Dodger.
No, and, he was adorable.
He and Ron Moody both were nominated for supporting actor.
That's right. And at the time, he was the second youngest, now the fourth youngest to ever be nominated for that.
And he went on to do H.R. Puffin stuff.
That's right. And the movie as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Jack Wild.
Yeah, he had a rough time, I guess, with drugs and alcohol. And then in the early 2000s, he was in a couple things, started to make a little bit of a comeback. And then he passed away like in 2003, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's marvelous. Like as a kid, he was always like my favorite. And he's got an amazing face, like just a perfect face for film. I mean, so many of those kids did as well, like the faces of those little pickpockets were amazing.
That's about it. I mean, there's the magistrate Hugh Griffith, who just has like the craziest face you've ever seen in your entire life. Brownlow does a good job. Everyone else, you know, Mrs. Bumble and all the like, it's all, they're all great. There's not really a weak link in this cast.
I don't think so either. Like, there really isn't.
There's a list of similar films under this, and it's bringing back so much nostalgia. So we have My Fair Lady, Around the World in 80 Days, The Great Race, Greatest Show on Earth, How Green Was My Valley, Sound of Music, Chitty Chitty, a bunch of different versions of Oliver Twist, Mary Poppins, and H.R. Puffin stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Can I get into some Oscar shit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. First things first, and then there might be some others that I just don't know about that I don't know that are musicals, but here are all the musicals that were nominated for Oscars this year.
Okay.
1969. You ready?
Yeah.
Mel Brooks' The Producers.
Okay.
Finian's Rainbow.
That's not a musical, though.
What is not?
Mel Brooks is The Producers isn't a musical.
Oh, that's true. It becomes a musical.
It becomes
late.
A musical.
That's true.
Yeah.
I still think it's worth mentioning because there's songs. They do the Springtime for Hitler song.
They do the Springtime for Hitler's.
Finian's Rainbow.
The best song of
that's
that
true.
Year, period.
That's true. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time and very much in this vein. And the Julie Andrews vehicle, Star, which I love.
I've only seen
I actually
time.
Own the vinyl to Star. It's pretty good. Star is pretty good.
I just remember seeing the cover of the VHS at the rental place.
Yes, right, yes. Her face in a star, yeah.
Yes.
And then you have Odd Couple this year, which
right
Neil
on.
Simon gets a nomination for. Or
I
might
know the
even
TV
win.
Show so much better than the movie.
Yeah.
Which I know
I
they're not necessary.
I guess I've seen an episode of the TV
Nick
show,
at Night,
but I never.
It made me watch.
Yeah,
all of
it was
them.
A TV land.
Well,
land,
but,
kind of, yeah.
And they had also done the play on Broadway. Those two,
those two, right?
Yeah,
right.
Klugman and.
Well, and the pilot is just the play in 30 minutes.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That same year, you have some fun ones. You have best foreign film that year is the War and Peace, the Russian War and Peace movie,
which
is a big deal.
Wow.
Lion in Winter is this year.
Okay.
Oh,
Thomas
shit.
Crown Affair is this year.
What?
Planet of the Apes is this
year.
Yes. The original.
Yes.
For makeup and everything. And a massive film that was that lost Best Director to
Carol Reed.
Can you tell me what this movie is, Scott?
2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's right.
Stanley Kubrick.
2001 Space Odyssey loses to Oliver! Exclamation point for Best Directing, which now I would argue nobody would ever do. Like, there's no universe where that ever happens again.
No.
Where, like, West Side Story beats fucking whatever, right? Like, that just, it's not a, there's not a possibility. So you have that year for director, you have Oliver, Battle of Algiers, which is the Pontecorvo, Anthony Harvey for Lion in Winter, and that's the Romeo and Juliet, the Zeffirelli.
Oh, the Zeffirelli one. Year.
Where you get to see butts.
Butts, lots
teenage
of butts.
Teenage butts.
Teenage, well, yeah.
Teenage butts.
We don't love that.
That's right.
No, we don't. And they were tricked.
It did win costume design over Oliver, also. The Romeo and Juliet did. I don't know. I mean, I get you because of the like way that they use color and stuff is really interesting in this, but I think to the time, RNJ is more, feels less theatrical and more legit.
I'll get you.
And that's maybe where they were headed. RNJ also wins cinematography, which I don't agree with. I think Oliver looks better than that RNJ does.
Oh, yeah.
I also think Funny Girl why didn't, looks better than that RNJ.
Why didn't 2001 win cinematography?
Yeah. It's kind of weird, right?
It still holds up as some of the best film.
It's anything. Not even nominated. 2001's no, not even nominated. They gave it a special.
No, they didn't know what to do with it. It blew everybody's brains. They just nobody had seen anything like that.
2001 gets nominated for art direction, but Oliver wins. This is the same year as Rosemary's Baby. Ruth Gordon wins for Rosemary's Baby supporting role. Best actress, you have Vanessa Redgrave up for Isadora. Joanne Woodward for Rachel, Streisand for Funny Girl, Hepburn for Lion and Winter. Like this year's crazy. Gene Wilder. Okay.
Oh, this is the year of the tie, right?
Is
that's
it?
That's the year that Barbara and Catherine
Hepburn both won. You're right.
Mm. Yeah.
So this year, Barbara Streisand and Catherine Hepburn both win for Best Actress. Fucking insane.
Can I do a quick digression? And I just found this out recently.
Yeah.
Catherine Hepburn holds the record with four Best Actress Oscars. She never accepted any of them.
Oh, weird.
She was never there to accept any of
cool.
them.
Cool.
She just probably sort of on purpose. Yeah, she was like,
what are we doing it for, people?
Yeah, who fucking cares? It's like when Frances McDormand walks up and she's like, thanks, fuckers, I don't care, and walks away. Like, whoa, I love it. Supporting role, though, I think it's worth mentioning. Jack Albertson wins for The Subject Was Roses, which I've never seen.
Yeah.
But up against him, you have Seymour Cassell for Faces, Daniel Massey from Star, Jack Wilde for Oliver, and Gene Wilder for The Producers.
Oh, right.
Moody got Best Actor nomination against Alan Arkin.
No.
Peter O'Toole and Alan Bates, and he loses to Cliff Robertson for Charlie.
Yeah,
which I've also never seen. Anyway,
it unfortunately doesn't hold up. It's a good performance. Yeah, do you know what the premise of that whole thing, of that movie is?
No.
It's based on a short story called Flowers for Algernon, and it's
I remember reading that in high school.
Yeah, same.
And it's about a man who's cognitively challenged, who then neurodiverse, I guess is the correct term nowadays, and then becomes smart and then loses it all and goes back to where he was. So he goes through this arc where he becomes aware.
He makes friends with a mouse.
Yeah,
it's like a weird Nutty Professor type thing, but with smarts instead of looks.
Yeah, it's a serious movie, and it is a good performance, but
just to say it out loud, the Best Picture nominees this year are Romeo and Juliet, Paul Newman's Rachel, which is great.
Yeah, great movie.
The Lion in Winter, Funny Girl, and Oliver. And Oliver wins Best Picture this year, which is pretty exciting. Oh, and I think it's worth mentioning, Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day wins Best Short Subject Cartoon.
Cute. Wow.
No longer called cartoons. It's
animation. Yeah. Animation.
Also, Roman Polanski and Mel Brooks both nominated for writing in perspective categories.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say about this fucking dope ass epic musical movie?
One thing in particular, my favorite line is Fagin yelling at the kids, "Shut up and drink your gin. Shut up and drink your gin."
He goes,
"Pretty good
goes,
one.
This sausage is moldy. Shut up and drink your gin.
It's pretty good."
Yeah, all those kids, man. The one, I forget the character's name. It might be Charlie. The one that's with Dodger and Oliver when Oliver gets caught. And
right.
That kid's face is amazing throughout the entire thing. I wonder if that kid ever did anything again. But he was just like, they just cast so well.
The trailer for this is batshit crazy.
Like the old school original.
Like the original, like in theaters trailer is so insane. It makes it look like a Grindhouse film or something. Like everyone should go watch it. It's so fun. But the tagline for this movie is hilarious. It's much, much more than a musical.
Yep.
Okay. It's got a good depressing ending.
Yeah, because it's sad. No, it's got a happy little final moment.
No,
it's
it is. Nice I actually, and that I would not compare the two at all thematically, but it reminds me of kind of like Fiddler on the Roof. Like you get into these characters and you love them and you've got all these great musical numbers and then some bad fucking shit happens and like it's great that he gets a family in the end, but like all I was thinking at the end was like, what is this kid seeing?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's Victorian England. He's not going to get therapy.
Well, and that's kind of, I love that that's kind of what Scott was bringing up at the beginning. Like he ends up being sort of this, he's who we're following and we're with him the whole time, but he's just this like kind of piece of paper you can imprint anything on.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to empathize with him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's why it's Oliver exclamation point. It's why it's Oliver. And for what? Here's a few IMDb trivia facts, which we know are always true.
Mm-hmm.
100% accurate.
100% accurate every time. And these are the ones that are marked helpful. Because you can mark them helpful and not helpful now. Okay. The Consider Yourself number took 3 weeks to film.
I believe that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So this is kind of funny. Apparently, Carol Reed wasn't super happy with Mark Lester through a lot of the filming.
Uh-huh.
He felt like he was kind of cast on his like cuteness and not on anything else, and didn't have a lot of skill in anywhere else, which is, I think, maybe
it's happened before.
True. Yeah, and apparently the scene where he has to, where Fagin is like pulling out his treasure and Oliver peeks and sees it, they couldn't get him to react properly how they really wanted him to be, like, whoa, right? And so during one take, apparently Carol Reed put a he hid a rabbit in his pocket and like pulled it out in the moment he wanted him to react, and Mark Lester saw it and went, and that's the moment that is in the movie. So it's kinda cute. I remember that one.
It's like the Boo moment from Revenge of the Sith.
I just learned about this. This is fucked up. Tell it, Scott.
So when Anakin becomes Darth Vader and goes to the temple and kills all the kids.
Yeah.
In episode three.
In episode three, there's the shot of the one kid going,
Master Skywalker!
Yeah.
And he kind of flinches. You see the kid flinch and then the lightsaber ignites.
Yeah.
So Hayden Christensen on a take went in and looked at the kid and just went, boo! And the kid, and that's what makes him jump in it, which is a little up, but he got the guy. It's a great
some
take.
Light child abuse.
They got the take. All right.
Got the take.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to throw.
Sometimes you got to get the take.
Sometimes you got to throw Milo and Otis off the cliff to get
right?
the take.
Right?
I haven't seen that in decades.
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah, the first movie to have to put at the end. There were animals hurt in the making of this.
They don't even know. I didn't even know that. You just ruined my day.
There's a lot of, it's
not Milo.
Yeah, there's like six different Milos and Otis because they kept dying.
It's like Eddie the Spaghetti.
That's
and
not
Frasier.
True. I'm bullshitting. Well, Eddie just passed. He was just old and died, and they got a new one. That's
and also
awful.
they did a show for 11 years. So
and the kid, the one who the dog who plays the new. The new version of Eddie ends up being the dog in The Artist, which was
oh
a really
right
good
yes yes
that's kind of cute
very cute. Okay. The first time Mark Lester saw Ron Moody out of his Fagin makeup, he didn't know who he was. He didn't
recognize. That's so cute. Fucking cute.
Yeah. A lot of fun shenanigans on this set. Sounds like the makeup department put a false ear on Oliver so that when Bumble grabbed him for the first time, his ear came off, and it like apparently Bumble like freaked out. Like, oh my god. Pretty hilarious.
There weren't enough women on set for them to sexually harass, so they, apparently, so they did it to the children. The kids.
Yeah, we love that. No, that was a trick on Bumble, not on the child. But yes. So Lionel Bart, who we didn't really talk about, he's the one who actually wrote the musical.
Yeah.
And is this kind of amazing, you know, like early Hollywood / Broadway Jewish writer who,
what else has he done?
He did From Russia with Love. He's in, okay. He did a lot of the score for From Russia with Love. He did nothing crazy. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Okay.
But that's not Jekyll and Hyde. It's like its own
sure
thing. Yeah. So nothing like super crazy, but he did the title song from Russia with Love. From Russia. But apparently, and this is a very highly respected score, won a lot of Tonys and won the Oscar, could not read music. Lionel Bart could not read music himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He would sing his melodies to pianists who would then set the tunes down on sheet music and orchestrate them for him.
Hmm.
So that's kind of crazy. Hmm. And I was actually in a musical where the composer did that, where he was like, yeah, I don't know music at all. I just have these like songs in my head and we sang them. And the music was really good.
Hmm.
And I remember being like, that's kind of crazy that somebody can just do that.
I also kind of want to be like, it's not that hard to learn how to read music. Why don't you learn how to read music?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I wonder if some of it is like they have tried and it doesn't, their brain just doesn't work with
that's
it.
That's fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, because I don't know.
Paul McCartney famously doesn't read music. And, you know, I mean, you think about literally, he's written some of the greatest songs of the last 100 years. But
that's true.
He just sort of gave up on trying. Like, there was a point he's like, nah, I know my chords, I know my notes. I can tell you that's a D and that's a C. And, leave somebody else to actually put it all together.
Like we said, the Bill Sykes song My Name was cut, but apparently it was filmed a little bit. And they basically were like, nah, Bill Sykes shouldn't sing. That makes him not scary anymore. And also, Oliver Reed can't
fucking sing. Well, that was my next question. Could he even sing?
No. I mean, and that was the problem in Tommy, is they just sounds bad. And so they sort of did the same thing here. But they just cut his only song. But the instrumental of the song does play the first time we meet him, which I didn't notice.
Okay.
So apparently Bloomsbury Square in London was recreated at the Shepperton Studios backlot for Who Will Buy. But the entirety of the studio was given over to the production of Oliver during the filming. The whole studio backlot was just for Oliver at the time for like months.
Yeah, the kinda scale cool. of it is
they were beating
really...
a dead horse at that point. Like, they were still just trying to pump out big huge Hollywood musicals, and people weren't necessarily into them.
Speaking of child abuse, all of the kids were extremely afraid of Oliver Reed because he was in character all the time. He went method for this one, which is ridiculous.
See that about him.
Totally. And they none of them liked being around him or whatever. But apparently, another side to this is that Mark Lester could not simulate tears. So they used freshly cut onions under his eyes to make his eyes water during Where Is Love, which it worked. He looks like he's crying.
Listen, he's so cute.
Jack Wilde and Oliver Reed both wear lifts in the movie.
Okay.
So Wilde is 15 in this movie. Jack Wilde is 15 years old.
15? Wow. Okay.
He's 16 when he gets the nomination.
Cool.
He looks like he's 11 in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he was actually shorter
too. Younger people just look way younger.
Right. Yeah. And but he was shorter than Mark Lester, who was 9 years old during this. Mm. So they put him in lifts to make him a little taller than Oliver. To make him a little seem a little older, a little more street smart, whatever. But he's actually shorter than Mark Lester.
They also put him in a top hat, which helps.
Yeah, that does help. That does help. Oh, one of my favorite moments, he goes, the Undertaker's like, "You think you can look like this boy?" And he goes, "Yes, if I had a tall hat."
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him with a tall hat. And he's walking in front of the funeral procession. It's cute. It's cute.
It is cute.
There's a bunch of other, you know, Carol Reed often insisted on 50 to 60 takes for every scene. That sounds fucking insane. Jack Wilde was the oldest of the Fagin gang, even though he was the smallest one. All these, you know, there's a hundred of the, this is literally the longest IMDb facts page I've ever seen for a thing. But wait, actually, I'm going to read this one. Someone very special to this podcast. He's not that special to this podcast, but we've said his name many times. Auditioned for the role of Bill Sykes. No. He auditioned for the role of Bill Sykes in the original London stage production of the musical. And then also auditioned for the film and didn't get it either time.
Okay.
And he was very, very disappointed because he's actually a genuine East End Cockney. And he's perfect for it. And felt like he could have done it. He proves himself in the movie Muppets Christmas Carol, in my opinion.
That he could have been cocaine?
My cocaine.
He'd have been too lovable as Bill Sykes. You can't help but love Michael Caine.
No,
lovable. No.
He's so fucking cute. I just want to hug him.
If you've seen any of his 60s crime movies,
yeah.
He is fucking brutal. That's the funny thing about him.
I bet I could read him in a fucking second.
But also, Christmas Carol, he's such a good Scrooge.
Yeah, fucking great.
He's giving 112% in that film, and I love it. Which is sort of my, like, I'm like, okay, if he can do that, he would be an amazing Sykes. But it's fine. They don't care about him. They don't love him.
He's fine. He's been fine.
Yeah, right. A couple other things I just wanted to say, because I think it's all very, very interesting. This was nominated for 11 Academy Awards. It won 6 of them, including Best Picture, Director, and it got that choreography thing. I don't think the Jack Wilde nomination would ever happen again today. Like, I don't think that performance would have gotten an Oscar nomination this year.
No,
and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I don't think the Academy.
I agree. I think, you know, it's all about hype and studio.
That's why Mike Feist didn't get it.
And all that. And yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But this year, Oliver and Funny Girl are both Columbia Pictures. They're both nominated for Best Picture. They had 19 Academy Award nominations altogether,
damn,
which is the most nominations for musicals from one studio in a year. Obviously, it was, you know. But Oliver was the last G-rated film to win the award for Best Picture.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Interesting.
It was the last movie musical to win the award until Chicago.
Okay.
So that's a long time for a musical to not win Best Picture. Yeah.
America was fucking sick of it.
There were nominations, Hello Dolly, Fiddler on the Roof, Cabaret, all that jazz, Beauty and the Beast, Moulin Rouge, all these things, but none of them won. Very, very interesting to me. But that's the Hello Dolly reference that I was talking about earlier.
Beauty and the Beast wasn't rated G. Oh, it was the last one to win that was rated G. Okay, my bad.
Beauty and the Beast did not win.
Right.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway, you got anything else you guys want to say?
No. No, shall we spitlet?
Yeah, let's spitlet.
LA Spotlight.
CJ, you had one. Go ahead and hit it.
Yeah. Heroes of the Fourth Turning. It's the Rogue Machine show that's out right now. It's at the Matrix Theater through October 2nd.
I'm hearing Mondays. Good things about that.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to feature it. Mondays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. On a dark night in the middle of America, 4 young conservatives gather to toast the newly inducted president of their tiny Catholic college. I guess the New York Times lost their shit about this show. Not this one in particular, but this script. Rogue Machine Theater, RE.org, for tickets. Awesome.
I've got one. The Red Suitcase is playing at the Broadwater main stage. It is presented by a P3 Theater Company. You can check them out at P3 Theater with an RE company on Instagram, Twitter. They're running through the end of this month, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2 p.m. But P3 did a couple shows at Fringe this year that were quite good. And so they're good company. Go check it out.
Yeah.
The Red Suitcase.
Red Suitcase. Yeah. Come see if you have the ability in October. I can announce this now because the casting breakdown is officially up. Mothers of God is a workshop of a new reading of a play that Rachel Bertram and I wrote together. And it will be at the Broadwater, produced by Sacred Fools. And it's going to fucking rule. And that's October 7th and 8th.
It's a cool as shit script, y'all.
It's a cool as shit script.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
I'm producing that.
Scott's producing it.
Yeah, doing stuff.
I'm very excited about it. It's gonna be fun. And friend of the pod, Kate McDonough is directing. Yeah, besides that, thank you guys for joining us for part one of Oliver exclamation point of Potiver exclamation point. Next week is CJ's pick. We're doing what, Siege?
James McClure's Laundry and Bourbon, a part two to our Lone Star. It's on script, y'all. You can find this script much easier than Lone Star, and it's just as fast to read.
Yeah. And then after that, we're doing another miniseries, another playwright miniseries, Euripides Nuts.
But yeah, I think I'm definitely picking Medea for that, if anyone wants to read ahead.
What are you thinking, Scott?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet. I'll decide. Okay. I'll decide this week.
I just wanna. I haven't read that play or seen it in an age.
Word. Yeah, I think we gotta talk about it. I think that's just one of those that's like, if we're not gonna cover Medea, why are we doing it?
Who the fuck are we?
Yeah, who are we even?
Who are we?
You guys got anything else?
That's all I got. Joining us?
Do y'all have any questions or comments? What play do you think we should follow for Euripides? Tell us. You can email us or reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or X. Scott?
A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson. He writes our theme song, and our theme song is better than your stupid fucking theme song.
Suck it.
He also writes all of our stingers, and he is a beautiful human being. And finally, to the great award-winning playwright Carol Churchill, who writes every single one of our episodes but doesn't even know it. And one day, Carol Churchill, we're gonna buy you a beer or some sort of cocktail.
This is true. We love you guys so much. Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. And go watch Oliver. The movie rules.
It's a great flick.
What a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that is done. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is. Now you're in the world.
Got a little Kermit-y there, like Kermit the Frog.
How wonderful life is. Now you're in the world.
Kermit singing that to Piggy. You can't get any sexier than that.
Best Hanson appearance in Ahsoka. So the Loath Cat.
Songs about rainbows. And what's on the other side.
I was doing like a heavy metal guitar thing. You know what? Later, everybody.
The theater.
Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
Sound the alarm, call Scotland Yard. I'm in charge, like Charles, take it too far. Rap like the bard, Bill Shakespeare bourgeois. So thank the Lord, I was sent here from the stars. I'm rapping wiggity wit wit wiggity wit wit Wichita. You never heard of it, well listen up, cause this shit rock. Wanna show you how I twist, then 1 second then I don't exist. Gotta pick a pocket or two, no rules, get the gist? Consider yourself at home, my brother. Put the spud in your dome, my brother. It'll be like Soma, take another. To uncover the meaning of life while you fly like a kite. 42 ain't right, hitchhiker's guide. If you make it to the night, to the right, everything you want in a box to the right.
Looking through the window, but it's on the other side. Killed your papa's dreams, you committing patricide. Killed your mama's dreams, you committing matricide. Killed a million frat boy fuckers, then it's fratricide. You kill the game like bourgeois, then it's rapicide. Who will buy my wares? Vices come in pairs. One a penny, two or three a penny if you dare. Making money coming up bourgeois style. Didn't have to come from the hood or 8 Mile.